Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
What's up, everybody? Episode number 42 of Unkillable. Just got in, still wet. Honestly, good day. And I already know that I'm going to deal with some of you today and some of you tomorrow. Oh, the Jets won. Oh, this sucks. Oh, this is going to further hurt our draft position. Listen, I think you guys are looking at it the wrong way. I really do. First of all, to me, you had to get some wins here, man. I understand that, you know, that they need a quarterback because Justin Fields just is not it. We know that. And it's obvious that the Jets need some real weapons, right? So that's basic stuff. We all know that here. I look at it this way. I think it's so, I don't want to go nuts and say so impressive, but so important to get a win like they did against Cincinnati, go into the bye week, have a productive bye week, and then come out and get another win. I mean, to me, that's the culture that you're chasing here. That just tells me that the building's getting a little healthier here. And I think that, you know, guys start to buy in. Granted, you know, the Browns suck. You know, the Bengals defense is awful. I'm not saying they were the prettiest wins here, but and really the manner in which they won, you know, I think one of the fastest ways to turn around a bad team is to start doing some stuff on special teams. And they, you know, they ripped off, what was it, 99-yard kickoff return, 74-yard punt return. They had 6 sacks, which is awesome. Will McDonald had 4. So I am absolutely enthused. I had a good time. You know, I went to the game, as you know. Now, I think it's important to go and like feel the energy. Not that there was a ton of energy, but, you know, just to be within the fan base. I think anybody that's doing a pod or, you know, that does this and doesn't go out there and get in the mix once in a while, I think it's really hard to get a good sense of what the fans are thinking. And I got there pretty early. I had good seats. We were in section 216, right around the 40. So that's obviously the second level. And we had the we had access to the Corona Club. You know, nothing's free. You got to pay for it. So it wound up being probably about $1,000 a day for myself and my 2 kids, my wife and my mother and father-in-law, who I brought. But it was well worth it. You know, we got there early. Like I said, we were probably there. And let me tell you, first of all, it's a minor miracle that we actually got there on time. I mean, my in-laws got in from Dallas on Thursday. I surprised them with this. It's their anniversary. We did some other stuff. But my father-in-law is from Ohio. So he grew up a big Browns fan. Not that much anymore. He's more Cowboys at this point. But you know, Jets were playing the Browns, and I go to at least a game every year. And, you know, so I told them, I told them Friday night at dinner, hey, I've got a surprise. We're going to do this. And then, you know, because I'm very regimented and very structured, you know, I tried to impress upon everybody, all right, guys, we have to leave by 10:30-ish, you know, to get there and navigate traffic on Route 3, getting into the parking lot, getting a spot, you know, knowing that 10:30 would become, you know, 10:40 and then 10:45. So, you know, not to cast any aspersions, but of course, at 10:50, I'm sitting in my driveway, and who's in the car with me? My son and my father-in-law. Who are we waiting on? My wife, my daughter, and my mother-in-law, of course. Like, I mean, that was the easiest bet of the weekend, right? So we actually got there really, really made good timing, even though we were a little bit behind schedule from where I wanted to be. So it was dry to start. And then third quarter, it started to rain pretty heavily. And the four of them went inside. And my son and I kind of toughed it out for a little bit. And then I'm like, this is ridiculous. Let's go sit inside. And we watched the game, and then we actually found a spot under where there was some cover. So, you know, I really thought that the Jet fan was pretty fired up today. Again, about the game, yeah, I mean, a kickoff to the house, a punt return, how often do you see that? And more specifically, how often do you see on you know, that sequence where it's like boom, boom? I mean, you know, boom, three and out, boom. It was pretty wild there. So I think that, you know, all the Jet fans that I came across in the Corona Club, you know, a lot of people came up to me and wanted to ask, get my thoughts on the trade or talk about, you know, stuff that we say on the fan. And, you know, I didn't really meet many Jet fans who were downtrodden, who were, you know, just very disenchanted with the trades, which was a great week. I think it was an absolutely fantastic week for Muji. I loved it. You know, I think when you talk about building things out, listen, guys, we all have this belief that, all right, like all these bad seasons that we've had for the Jets, that we're going to, you know, get the first overall pick, whatever year that might be, and we're going to draft our can't-miss franchise quarterback who's going to lead us to these incredible heights. And, you know, by year two or year three, you know, 13-4, 14-3, AFC championship, like it's going to be this linear path. I think that, you know, it's more important, and I haven't always thought this. I've told you guys about this, but I think it's very important with this regime, with Aaron Glenn, to crank out some wins and reinforce the messaging and deal with the draft when you get there. Because the sheer reality of it is what's happened with these trades. The Jets have become power brokers in the NFL. In the most unconventional sense, like you think about power brokers, you think about the teams that are loaded, that have their quarterback and have, you know, great financial solvency with their cap, and they've got the GM and the coach. And yeah, that's true. That's the obvious way. But I think, I mean, I know that when you look at any business transaction that's going to transpire moving forward around the NFL, and I mean big trades, whatever it might be, things we aren't even thinking about right now, the Jets will be in every meaningful conversation because they've got the draft capital to do it. So the 2026 draft, all right, there's two first-round picks. 2027, there's three first-round picks. There's a bunch of second-round picks. So I get it, especially coming off the game that Mendoza had yesterday against Penn State. That last drive, my God, he's the guy. There's no doubt he's the first overall pick for me. Not even close. Now, everybody's starting to jump on the Mendoza bandwagon. I told you, and I said it on the fan, probably going back about 6 or 7 weeks ago, whenever the Indiana-Oregon game was in Oregon, and it was Dante Moore against Mendoza, that was really where I first jumped into, all right, let me, with my own eyes and my own football instincts, let me not just read stuff. This guy thinks this guy's going to go here, and this guy likes that guy, and this guy's not sure about that guy. Because the draft is, it's really just a bunch of nonsense. I mean, between now and the draft, there's a quarterback that is very highly regarded now that's going to drop. There's a quarterback that's kind of on the cusp, like maybe late first round, whatever, is going to shoot up. But I don't think that there's any doubt that it's going to be Mendoza. So I get it. I'm not saying I don't understand it, where you're a little conflicted with a win here, but I don't think that you should be. I think that if this was like year two of Adam Gase, if this is, you know, last year with Robert Saleh, if this is Rich Kotite in 96 when they went 1-15, which was preceded by a 3-13 season, I think that there's certainly times where you've got to root for losses because you want somebody fired or there's just a can't miss. And as much as I love Mendoza, I'm going to stop short of saying that he's can't miss, though I love the kid. I mean, those throws and the he's 6'5", 225, 230, big arm, quick feet, moxie. Like, he does strike me as the real deal, but it's, you know, he's not Andrew Luck. He's not Peyton Manning. He's not one of those automatic, transcendent, no doubt about it, you know, John Elway, one of those guys. Not. He could turn into one of those players, but I think coming into the season, he certainly was not. It was still Arch Manning. I mean, it was still all the Arch Manning buzz. And even though it's a lock, he's going first. There will be some dissenters because that's just the name of the game. So I get it. I really do. But I'm excited about the win. You know, I just think that there's a point where you have to understand what's more important. And there's nothing more important than coming into work with the belief that things are right, that things are stabilized, that things are moving in the right direction. And you do that really by getting a win. You know, I mean, there anything that you do, I'll give you an analogy here, right? You know, I love my golf analogy. So let's say, you know, you're taking all these lessons and you're on the cusp of breaking 100. And, you know, you get to the final two holes and, you know, like I used to do, you know, I got a 48 on the front and, you know, all right, if I bogey 17 and if I par 18 or vice versa, that's going to be a 99. And then, of course, what happens is I get a snowman, I get a 103 and I don't do it. But the point is, until you cross the threshold of feeling what it's like to shoot a 99 or whatever your line of demarcation might be, to break 90, to break 80, to go par, to be scratched, whatever it is, until you do it, you know, no amount of lessons, no conversations, no YouTube self-help videos is going to get you across the finish line. What's going to get you there, hopefully and eventually, is that the young players now start to come to work with a conviction that what their coach has been espousing from the moment he was hired, you know, we're built for this shit, you know, what Aaron was saying, it's going to start to resonate more. And the words are going to be much more impactful. It's no longer a theory. It's no longer like, well, if you do this and this and this and this, this will happen. Yeah, that might be true. But once you actually feel it happen, it's just different. It's a different belief. It's a different energy. It's a different foundation. And too often these Jet foundations have been incredibly flimsy. So I'm definitely fired up. By the way, I thought the Jets did a great job. As you can see right behind me, they handed out these T-shirts to everybody as you walked in, and they did a great tribute for Nick. It was actually really touching. I put a nice picture on Twitter. They had they unfurled in one of the end zones this massive, and it kind of basically looked like that, although I think it was green, and it was the size of the entire section. It was really classy. It was really well done. It had a great tribute. DeBrickishaw Ferguson spoke. He took the microphone. Yeah, he was classy, and it was touching. And it's funny too. And my wife even said this, because the way I got the seats, it doesn't matter, but I got four in 216 in row 9, and I got two in 216 in row 2. So my son and I sat down there, and my wife and my daughter, my father and mother-in-law sat, whatever it was, 7 rows behind us. So when we met in the Corona Club at halftime, she said, "Did you notice that as soon as they started to tribute Nick Mangold, the sun actually started to pierce through a little bit?" And she was right. I felt it. You know, I believe in that stuff. It was a nice moment. It was poignant. It was powerful. And, it, you know, then you saw his wife and his kids go on the field. And it was just, you know, it was a reminder of the heartbreak that we all felt for Nick. And I did a tribute one of the previous pods. If you guys want to check it out, obviously you can download it. If you want to watch the video, you could do that as well. But it's just, you know, and the thing that strikes me about the every picture of Nick, like, it's just such a perfect encapsulation of his spirit. You know, always had the backwards hat, always had the locks flowing, always had the goatee, always had a smile, always had the shades. Really, really awesome. So I thought the Jets did a great job on that. You know, and I got to tell you this too. I always complain about MetLife, and I drive through past Route 3 all the time, or on Route 3 and past the stadium all the time. And I can't stand the stadium. Like, it's just a piece of shit. You guys know this from the outside. It's absolutely gross. You know, the big air conditioner, you know, a set of braces. I mean, whatever you want to call it. It's an eyesore, right? But I will say, and I've always felt this way, having gone to a bunch of night games over the years, when it's, you know, especially as it gets to like, you know, 3 and 4 o'clock now that the sun's going down earlier, or if it's a 4:25 game or 4:05 or a night game, when they do fire up the green, and again, there was a lot of empty seats today based on the weather and based on the record, I get that, and the opponent. But when it's lit up and it's green, it's actually pretty good. Like, to me inside, I think the actual ambiance of the game, the music, and I think that the in-game experience is not bad. I think when we shit on the stadium, it's always about the aesthetics of the outside of it. But inside, you know, in and out, bathrooms everywhere, no real lines, you know, seats are comfortable. You know, you got plenty of leg room. We had a great seat again, 216, right around the 40. It was really cool. The one thing, too, and I hadn't been hit with this in a while. Because, you know, and this is going to sound like, I'm not trying to sound like that guy, but, you know, usually when I go to a game, I'll get like a parking pass or, you know, just whatever, just make it easier and stuff. And I didn't get that today. I didn't have access to that. So I park regularly, like I used to do a million times when I had season tickets and used to go to games all the time before I got married, before I had kids. And I really didn't know how much the parking was. I really didn't know. I pull up, the woman goes, $100, $100 to park at MetLife. And what a sweetheart. She was awesome. This woman was great. Like, she almost felt guilty asking for the money. And she even said, she's like, now I want to double check this. She works there, so I'm sure that she knows. But how about this? She said the Giants charge 60. So I don't know if anybody in the comments can confirm that or validate that. So let me get this straight. The Giants, who have given their fans so much more than this team has given us with 4 Lombardis and me, none in my lifetime, they charge people $60 to park, and the Jets have the balls to charge you $100? Like, I texted Sal. I'm like, and I'm not cheap. I am not cheap at all. I've never had an issue going into my pocket. You know, I understood today was going to be about $1,000 day. If I couldn't swing it, I wouldn't do it, you know. There were times when I was younger where I couldn't do that. Luckily, now I could. Yeah, I couldn't do that every week. I wouldn't do that every week because it's also a different experience. Like, I'm at the game, and I've got to go back and watch the game because I feel like I didn't see so much of the game. You know, it is cool to be there, but you just miss things. Like, who missed the blockings? I can't see. I mean, you can barely make out the numbers, you know? So some of the penalties, you know, flags come out. I'm like, was that really a penalty? They give you reviews in the stadium, but I like to hit rewind and stop and go slow-mo. So it's an experience for me that I just don't love. I really don't. But I do think it's important to feel it once, at least once a year. As I said, you got to go out there. You got to be amongst your fans, man. You got to know what people are saying. You got to know what people are thinking. You got to know what people are, or what they want, you know? And it's to reiterate, I thought there was a lot of hope today. Like, I've been there so often where there was just despondency that just overrode the place, like apathy, despondency, like anger's not even on the table because nobody really cares. There were the people that were there, especially when it started raining, you know, when the Jets did something well, you felt it. Like, the Jet fans wanted to win today. And I just, you know, I don't get it pertaining to this situation. How are you sitting there rooting for a loss? I mean, I do, because it goes back to what I said about the quarterback. But, you know, that's being of the mindset that it's going to work out, you know, perfectly, the perfect alignment for the Jets with the first overall pick. You know, they take the guy. He's the stud. He's the eventual Super Bowl champion. Does anybody really think it's going to go that way for the Jets? Do you? I mean, let's face it. Whenever the Jets stumble upon whatever is their like this regime's level of success, you know, it's probably going to be a little serendipitous. You got to get a little lucky, You got to get a little lucky. You got to be able to read draft boards. You got to have instinct. Well, obviously, like the Giants, I know heartbreaker for the Giants, God. And it looks like Dart got a concussion. That sucks. But the Giants, like they were, that was the way they read their, and yeah, Shane and Dable are on borrowed time, obviously. But the way they read that, they, you know, you got to get a little lucky because somebody can jump up and snag Dart before you. You know, you heard Dable wanted to take Dart at three. They didn't. They rolled the dice. They get Carter. Then they, you know, they make a move and they get their quarterback. So, and you look around the NFL, and a lot of those situations are kind of like that. They really are. I mean, the easiest one is Tom Brady, who obviously almost didn't even get drafted. You know, Dan Marino never won the Super Bowl, but he was, man, had the Dolphins in the mix just about every year for a decade or so when he was in the 20s. Mahomes didn't go first or second or third or fifth overall. So you just don't know. You know, I know the version of Russell Wilson now is not a version anybody wants to watch play football, but Russell Wilson was a fourth-round pick. Joe Montana was a fourth-round pick. Now, there's examples. Obviously, if Andrew Luck would have stayed around and didn't retire early, what do you have, 11? I think he had 11 wins in a row. We had 33 wins over 3 years at one juncture before the injuries really piled up. And he was probably on that more conventional, get drafted first overall, go to a franchise and eventually get them to and maybe win a Super Bowl. And, of course, Peyton did that. But I just long ago gave up on this thought that, you know, you got to root for losses, you know, not with these guys. I believe in Aaron Glenn. I believe in him, not full throttle, not full bore. I mean, it's reckless and it's stupid to do that. Like, why would I do that? There's not enough evidence. But I'll tell you, there's more and more and more and more evidence from the general manager. And he hired Aaron Glenn, you know, and not just the trades for Sauce, getting rid of him and Q, but also some lower level things. The Jets have a punter who's phenomenal. I mean, he's going to be around for a long time. We talked about this on the last pod, a lower level trade with getting Brownlee. That was an astute move where I think he fleeced the Titans. Stevens, I think it was Stevens who had that early PI on third down, but about a 35-yard penalty of it. And that's what I'm like, was that even a penalty? So I got to go back and watch it. But, you know, he played awful the first couple of weeks, then he's played very well. So I think that there's some evidence here that these guys are at least pushing this, willing this in a direction that is going to bear some fruit. So what I think is going to happen is this, all right? I think – now, I was open to trading Breece before the deadline, all right? I was open to trading him over the summer. Now, but you still have to keep a standard. If you're going to be a general manager that likes to make a lot of trades, and the early report is Mucci's definitely that kind of guy. So you can't just make a trade. Like, you can't say, well, we're probably not going to re-sign Breece Hall, and this team only wants to give us a fourth, but in our minds, he's worth a third. So, you know, we probably won't re-sign him. Fuck it. Let's just do it for a fourth. And let's send the message that we're a little flimsy when it comes time to do business. I think that that's weak. I think you've got to hold that line. So, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, and I believe it's more right than wrong. They held that line. They didn't get what they wanted, a third round pick, and they keep one of their best players. And because of all the money that they got rid of with Sauce and Q, and, you know, even you could do some things with Justin Fields if you want to move on from him. There'll be some dead money. For sure. I don't want to really get into that now. But in 2027, the Jets have, I want to say, $217 million of free agency. And right now, and I'd have to double check my notes, I would check them now, but I spilled water on them before I opened up the pod. I think they're right around 115 or 120. And that's top three, top four in the NFL. And the cap's going to go up. So they are flush with cap space. And really, for the first time in a while, now, I know that Justin Fields was running around a lot. I'm still wet, God.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
From the weather a little bit. I know Justin was running around a lot and he got hit a few times. I don't know exactly how many sacks he was. The Jets gave up. I know Jets had six, but I think that's more a product of him just not seeing things downfield and kind of holding on to the ball. We've talked about this before. I think what's really, really encouraging about this, and this is the way that I choose to look at it, is that the Jets on the left side, they've got a stud, and on the right side, they've got a stud. And I believe in the middle and center, they've got a stud at the minimum. And even, you know, Simpson's pretty good. Like, they've got, at the bare minimum, being conservative, 60% of an offensive line. And they're young. They're on their first contracts. So when you have that, now you've got the ability to build from the in out. And that's always the smart way to go. It seems like so many years, you know, and the Giants have done this a little bit with some of the receivers, you know, that whether it, and I love Neighbors, but you can also make the case that maybe they didn't need Neighbors when they took him, even though he's a stud. But too often, I think fans, and I've been guilty of this, so I'm not just saying it's you guys, but you definitely do this as well, where you make a correlation like a splash draft pick helping to elevate the franchise. Like, oh, go get that stud receiver, and suddenly the offense is going to be phenomenal. It doesn't work that way. The offense will continue to be like, you know, just really nothing if you don't have an offensive line. So they do have that, and I do think now, I think they're going to resign Breece Hall. I think it's, you could tender him, and I think it will be about $11 or $12 million, and you could afford, you can justify that now based on the resetting of the finances. So now you start to see the wheels come in motion. And even something else that I thought was small, because he hasn't played particularly well this year. It's not like you benched, you know, one of their, yeah, it's not like you benched Garrett Wilson, or say if Gardner was here, you bench Sauce. But Aaron Glenn benched Quincy Williams. So he trades his brother, and then he benches Quincy. And I thought Quincy's response was very telling of how this team is beginning to respect and understand what Aaron Glenn wants. Because if you listen to what Quincy said, now he said, I'm not happy about it, which I respect. You shouldn't be happy about it. If you're happy about being told to sit down, then you're the wrong guy for the job. Then it's hopeless. Like, you've got to push back. But he pushed back in a respectful, team first way. He's like, I look forward to getting my job back. Like, and even said, I haven't been playing well enough. And he made a really nice player at one point today. And, you know, I don't know. It doesn't mean that Quincy Williams is going to be around for 5 years. They very well might move on from him. But what that means is there's an expectation. And if you're not doing your job, and he has not played well since the start of camp, All right, so Aaron Glenn was disappointed in that, and now it's a reshifting of expectations. You know, first I'm going to tell you what I expect. You know, when you come into the building for the first time, and if you don't do it enough, and I'm going to give you a little time to get it right, but if there's no traction and no progress, well, now your ass is on the bench, and I absolutely love it. I love it. So I want to look at some of these comments. I guarantee some of you guys are unhappy. Need the quarterback, wide receiver two, and tight end two on offense. Yeah, RB, that's definitely something that you need. Quarterback, that's a given. Wide receiver two, that's a given, although they made some trades. We'll see. And tight end two, yeah, I think that that's fair. What else here? You would resign Quincy. I don't know about that. Let's see. Aaron Glenn's not man enough to admit he made a mistake with Fields, despite his false macho bravado. All right, that is from Jemiah Jamarius, I believe is the name. All right, well, let me ask you, you know, what false bravado you talking about when he goes back and forth with the media? Because I don't really have an issue with it. Let me tell you something. He doesn't owe us anything. I was saying this on The Fan the other day. I'm like, it doesn't matter what I think. And I'm talking to this. It doesn't matter what you think, Sal. It doesn't matter what Hop thinks, our producer. It doesn't matter what the callers think. It doesn't matter what Cimini or Catanzaro or Costello or Hughes. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It's what he thinks. And it's what the locker room, more importantly, thinks. And you guys need to understand this. Now, I will grant you this. Does it come across as a little petty? Yeah, it does. Like, just divulge the quarterback. I mean, what's with the state secrets here? That's to me, the very short-sighted way of looking at it, with all due respect. I think the better way to look at it is he is creating like a force field, if you will, around his franchise. So that when they are good, and it is a more meaningful question, because it doesn't really matter if it's Justin Fields or Tyrod Taylor. Nobody cares, even though you've got to ask the question, and those men and women are doing their job. And I respect all of them, right? But I also respect Aaron Glenn not acquiescing. You know, I'm not going to tell you. You'll find out when you find out. My team knows what they need to know. You know, I mean, we're practicing. Whomever's starting is getting more reps, and whoever's not is getting less. And when we come out of the tunnel on Sunday, we'll have a quarterback. End the story. I don't see what the fucking problem is. I really don't. It's a big deal made out of nothing. And I don't get it. Like, it's almost as if it's, and I do get the pursuit of answers. I do. So this is not me at all impugning the integrity or the pursuit of answers by men and women paid to get answers for their livelihood. That's a different, like, I separate the two. I respect what they're doing, but I also respect what Glenn's doing, because I get it. And I think more of you need to understand it. Like, think about this. Let's just say in 2027, the Jets are 7-4 at some point, right? 8-4, you know, 6-3. Right there. Now, who knows what the Bills or the division looks like, the Pats, whatever. By the way, the Bills today, wow, that was a stunner. They were shut out for most of that game. I bet you a lot of people lost money on that. At least taking the Bills on the money line to wrap up a parlay. God. Anyway, let's just fast forward to 2027. And there's a bigger issue that actually does matter. And the media comes calling. So, Coach, what are you going to do about this? Well, he has now already disarmed everybody. Because in year one, he's already established his culture. I'm not telling you. So you can ask and you can waste time. And we could probably talk about stuff that's more important than this, because we're going to go in circles. If you want to go in circles and write the same story, that's on you. But we're moving on. My team knows what they have to do, and that's all that matters to me. So I don't have an issue with that at all. I don't. You know, would it be better if it was a little less antagonistic and the Jets had a couple of more wins? Of course. I mean, sure. I mean, anytime it's harmonious and the team's winning, of course, that's the better option. But I see what he's doing. And guys, you got to understand, this is not like Aaron Boone trying to get the Yankees one more level up to finally crack through for, you know, a championship for the first time since 2009. This is not Andy Reid playing games with the Kansas City media to try to get his 9,000th Super Bowl. This is a man who know, unlike Salah and unlike Gase and unlike Bowles and unlike everybody that's coached this team, except Parcells because he was with the Giants and he got New York media, all right? He understands just how arduous the task this is. He knows just how easily this franchise gets swallowed up by all the regurgitation of stories that haunted previous teams and previous, you know, decades and previous generations of fans. And what he's trying to do is take all that and package it up and throw it the fuck out the window. That's what he's trying to do, all right? So would you rather Robert Saleh be up there and, like, you know, playing Mr. Nice Guy, and, you know, when Zach Wilson can't read a damn thing in front of him, not hold his young quarterback accountable, or on Hard Knocks, you know, whipping out some stupid corny poems about the sparrow and the, I don't know, the hawk or the crow or whatever that stupid shit was? Is that what you really want? What I want is a leader of men. That's what I want. And that's what you need. That is non-negotiable with this situation. I think really just about in every situation, but all the things that you have to overcome, that is without compromise. And he is presenting himself, number one, and this is the other reason why I don't really have an issue with it at all. I don't think that he's being inauthentic. Like, if Aaron Glenn was being fake, I'd be like, oh, come on, man, what are you doing? Well, what's with the act here? You know, this doesn't seem to be you. I just think that Aaron Glenn is a no-nonsense, old-school red ass, you know? And what did he say the other day in the locker room? Like, and I think he said, who wants to fly? He put his arms out. He says, I'm like, who wants to fly with those fucking Jets? You don't think that locker room loved that? They loved it. And I guarantee that they did the same thing today. I just I haven't had a chance to watch it because I'm doing this, and I just got back from the game. So I do think there'll be more missteps the rest of the way. The missteps may be perceived by some, not me. There will be more. Now, that doesn't mean that if he does do something that I take issue with, I'll say it. But I think that this is what he's going to do for as long as he's here. And when they're playing the Bills on a Monday night in 20 or Sunday night football in 2027 with some young stud quarterback, and the national media comes hunting for answers, or they're trying to pick and prod and dig, and, oh, there's a little tiny controversy with so-and-so who wants an extension or who was benched or whatever the situation might be, guess what Aaron Glenn does? He does what he's been doing now with the quarterback stuff. Yep, that's for my team. Yep, I got it. I appreciate you asking. I'm not going to tell you because I don't have to tell you. So, I was a little surprised he took that route early. I have grown to appreciate it. I really have. All right, what else here? Let's see. Okay, let's see. You're telling a fictional tale. It's a nice story, but there's not much to back it up. That is from username 14 years. What do you mean? What's fictional about what I just said? I just ran through the early on the game, you know, how they won. They had no offense. They had a kickoff return, they had a punt return, they had six sacks. They won coming out of the bye, and they won before the bye. I'm not making this up. I'm not sitting here saying I think the Jets are going to go on a five-game win streak. I don't think there's any chance in hell that happens. I think the Jets probably finish with four wins. They probably get two more the rest of the way. Maybe Miami, maybe one more. That's it. But it's got to start somewhere. That's all I'm saying. I'm fictional. I don't know anything. Now, if you're talking about the way I interpret Aaron's dealings with the media, okay. Well, that's your opinion. I got you. Let's see. Brady Cook, no stop. I love doing these, but it's hard because as I'm trying to read something, as they come in, they just kind of. Is there a way to freeze that? Let's see. Yeah, I mean, this one's pretty basic. Ricardo, it's all about the play on the field more so than the hype speeches. Yeah, I get it. But, you know, the hype speeches, and I'm not a massive proponent of hype speeches. Sometimes I think that they have a time and a place if they're real. again, if they're authentic, you know, they've got to hit the mark here. You know, you know somebody that, you know, kind of has that gravitas, and Aaron Glenn does. I mean, you know, the one thing about these young kids, I think there's a bit of a misconception. I think it's unfair to the younger generation. I think a lot of people position like the younger athlete as clueless about the past, or they don't care about the past and they're wrapped up in their world. And social media is a big part of that. And that's obviously problematic for some. And I wish that wasn't as much a part of the world, forget about sports, as it is. I think it's incredibly dangerous, polarizing, divisive. I think there's a lot more bad than good with social media. But I do think that these young players the moment that they found out they were playing for Aaron Glenn, they YouTubed them. They're like, man, this guy was a dog on the field. Aaron Glenn was good. I mean, Aaron Glenn can play. Look at this 108-yard kickoff return against the Colts on the field goal. Look at Aaron Glenn picking off Dan Marino at the goal line down in Miami and going the basically 100 yards to the house touchdown. I mean, look at Aaron Glenn doing this. Look at Aaron Glenn doing that. Look at Aaron Glenn on some good teams being coached by Bill Parcells. Like, they are not idiots, despite some of you, you know, really not giving the younger – it's not all of you. Some of you, the younger generation, any sort of credit, you know? I think that they know exactly who's coaching them, and that's all that matters. It really does. So all this other stuff, we could dress up press conferences all we want, right? It matters the results, and the results will be incremental this year, dribs and drabs. I mean, you just traded Williams, you just traded Gardner, and I love it. I have no problem with either. But, you know, even though Gardner didn't make any plays, he would blanket the opposing receiver. So that's going to be a problem the rest of the way. He just wouldn't make picks, you know. And Quinnen never got to the quarterback anymore. But, you know, he's rated a top three run defense, you know, against the run. So and he's a guy that you got double team, which makes life easier for the other. So, of course, the Jets defense, I think over time this year, you'll see the ill effects of their absence. But I think bigger picture with the money and the cap space and all the things I hit, I think they're in a good way. In a way that is in a meaningful direction. I shouldn't say a good way. Let's see. A big positive that goes understated is the penalties have gone way down compared to the Saleh era. Yeah, it's no longer a 10 flag minimum. That's true. They've been a lot less, and that's part of it. So let me get this straight. There's fewer penalties, and that is very quantifiable. That is provable. Just go to NFL.com, look it up. The Jets aren't where they were residing for years. Fact. Today, the special teams game, which I really do believe is one of the fastest ways, along with curtailing penalties, to go from an eyesore to a competitive team that's going to give you a chance to steal a couple of games despite having a dearth of talent. Like, and then obviously, if you don't turn the ball over, if you can get a little boost from the either the kicking game, but really the return game, and the penalties are down, you know, you're going to be in a lot more games. You're just going to. Let's see here. Yeah, less penalties means building a culture. I agree with that. BT, did you see Sauce get juked out of his shoes in the fourth quarter on a two-point conversion? I saw it quickly on my phone. You know, I try not to be on my phone too much of the game. I got some texts. I got some tweets. I can't wait to see him when I get upstairs and I really dive into some other stuff, which I will. Yeah, I mean, his fall-off is very, very strange. You know, the thing about – and he's gone, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. But the thing about Gardner that was very interesting, like when he first came in, they allowed a rookie to use his hands. And generally, it's the other way around. Like, you don't get the benefit of that. You've got to prove that. And once you do, well, all right, now you're an all-pro. You're 3, 4, 5 years in. Now they let you get away with some handsy stuff. It was the opposite. Like, he came into the league. They let him do whatever he wanted. They swaddled the penalty flag and the whistle. And – then as he established himself, it actually went in a different direction. Very weird. And in the middle of the field, Sauce Gardner is not very good. Like by the boundaries, sidelines, he's good. But when you get him in space, he's just not the player that we thought we had. So I thought that they got out at the right time. Pass rush. Yep, agreed. Yeah, love the Nick Mangold t-shirt. Rest in peace, big man, no doubt. And again, they gave that to everybody. I came home with 6 because it was my, you know, 6 of us went and they're all extra larges, so they're not going to fit anybody. And my in-laws don't want them because they're not Jet fans. I'm going to make sure I get them in the hands of some of my buddies who are real Jet fans. Let's see here. Anything else? Glad they got rid of Williams and Gardner. I mean, I'll tell you, you know, I was stunned. I was not stunned by Q because once they traded Gardner, everything was on the table. I'm like, are they going to trade Jermaine Johnson? Are they going to trade Will McDonald? Are they going to trade Breece? So, like, I didn't know what was coming outside of the young offensive lineman and Garrett Wilson. I didn't know what was going to happen. So I wasn't stunned. I was stunned by Gardner, not by Q. But my reaction, and it came on our show, and it was like 10 minutes before we got off the air. I was pumped when I found out, which was pretty immediately, what they got back. I don't know how you can't love this. Like, again, the Jets are now power brokers, guys. Like, I know that the Jets spoke about Micah Parsons before he was dealt to Green Bay, right? All right, for Quentin, draft capital, Parsons would have came here. Now, let's say the next superstar edge rusher, or more importantly, the next quarterback, who right now we don't even know is either disenchanted or ownership is ready to move on. You know, and I know that Joe Burrow's name's been thrown out there. All right, I mean, that seems fairly implausible. Like, if you're Cincinnati, why would you let him go? Well, you know, Boomer's always talked about this. Their ownership is about as cheap as it gets. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you start to get to another contract. That could be it. Maybe he's tired of being in a small city. You know, he seems like a bright lights guy. I don't know. But if he does become truly available, who can come to the table with more than the Jets? Who? They've got a need, and they've got everything that you would possibly want from draft capital. So that's what I mean when the Jets have become power players. 2026 draft, 2027 draft, any unhappy superstar that is going to emerge. And in the NFL, it's gotten more and more. See, that was always an NBA thing where guys would force their way out. And, you know, that's how the power teams were built. That, hey, I'm not resigning here, so you better get me out of Memphis, or you better get me out of Vancouver back in the day, or you better get me out of the Clippers because I'm gone. I ain't staying here, when the Clippers were awful, you know, with Sterling. And once they flexed in the NBA, they were, I mean, teams always acquiesced. They were always dealt. Now, it's not going to be like that with the NFL because the contracts aren't all guaranteed, and it's just not quite that way. But more and more, there's a shifting because more and more younger general managers are permeating, and personnel people and executives are permeating the game. And they are from the Madden philosophy. They are from fantasy football, making trades. And like, they are. That's how their brains are wired. So they are more proactive and more amenable to those things, which means that is very potentially a great thing for the Jets. Why not do a podcast giveaway? Yeah, I might. You know, maybe I will. You know what? I'd have to figure out how to get that to one of, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to do that. I've got a bunch of them. I'm going to do that. Yep. I'm going to do a podcast giveaway for that Nick Mangold shirt. Not that one, because that's mine, but one of the ones that I have here. What else here? Do I think the Giants are going to fire Dable tomorrow? Who knows? I'll get in that tomorrow with Sal. I mean, it looked like he was going to get fired after the Broncos game. There was reports on that. They didn't. Another miserable fourth quarter collapse. They suck. They're going nowhere. I don't think Dable's going to be back next year. I wouldn't bring back Joe Shane. I've said this a million times sideways. Do they fire him tomorrow? I don't know. I mean, does it really matter at this point? But he's not going to be back next year. Ricardo said, I want no part of Kyler Murray. I totally agree. Not interested. Too small. Too injury prone. Not enough of a winner. Seems to be too much of a me guy. Not interested. Pass. That's an old Jets move. Like, that's an old Jets move. By the way, I snapped these today. So they're so short, these guys. This guy's supposed to be to here, and this guy's supposed to be to here. So when I put them on, they are now very jagged-edged, and they are piercing my bald head. What's my honest opinion on Justin Fields? He's just not good. Can't throw the football, man. He's too reluctant to let it go. He's too inaccurate when he does let it go. So he's not the guy. That's it. And I would play him the rest of the way. I mean, unless he has, you know, a 3, 4, 5 pick game and, you know, you just want to go to Tyrod just to mix it up here. But no, he's not going to be part of the puzzle. There's no way. But I also don't have an issue with the Jets trying to, you know, kickstart their energy a bit with a young quarterback who's a great athlete, who's in his mid-20s. On a good team-friendly contract. I got it. I just, he's just not going to, no, he's not going to be around. Let's see. Hall's a beast. Yeah, he's a beast. I like Breece Hall. I do.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The pass rush, that's on Sauce. Culture, penalties. Let's see. Yeah, more on the penalties. Yeah, McDonald had a great game. 4 sacks. Wow. You know? I don't know what this means. BT, looking like your cool English teacher that lets you read banned books. All right, I don't know. I think that's par compliment. Probably not good if you're a student in my class. Yeah, I still don't get that. I saw that again. Tell it a fictional tale. I mean, I think what I'm spitting out here is just real gets. I mean, I don't get it. What is not making sense here? So I am happy. I am happy today. I walked in there. Hadn't been to a game this year. I'm not going to lie to you. Like last night, because you know, the family and, you know, it's a lot of moving parts. And I love my in-laws, but it's two more people and, you know, 6 people to a game is not easy. So last year I just took my son and it was simple. But I mean, I'm really happy I did it. But I remember like last night, I'm like, we were outside having a glass of wine by the fire pit with them. And I'm saying to myself, why did I commit to this? But I committed to this because you got to get out there and you got to be amongst your fan base, man. You got to. And how the hell am I going to do a podcast and just, you know, live in my WFAN hole or my office, my home office hole, and not go to a game, you know? So go to games all the time. I mean, there were nights, I'll tell you, going, that is the one thing that I do miss. Not that I would want to do that now, like at this age. There's no, you couldn't pay me to do this, really. But when we used to go, we used to get there I feel like the gates used to open at 8. Maybe I'm misremembering that. I'm going back to Kotite, Parcells, into early Herm. Let me see. Well, yeah. And then you had, what's his name, for 1 year, and then he went to Virginia. Whatever the hell his name was, he was here for a year. So it was an all-day thing. And I, when I'm walking out of the game, even with the rain jobs, I'm looking around and I'm seeing some people, and I get it. You know, you get there. I think these gates open at 9. But again, I thought the old Meadowlands was 8. Either way, we'd be there. As soon as they were open, bang. I mean, beer cracked, fire going. I had this flag that I made out of like these white connecting like almost plastic pipes that I somehow, you know, like I taped it. It wasn't even perfectly done, but it was probably 30 feet high. This white contraption with a Jets flag on it that I built. And it would take me about 20 minutes as soon as I got there to crack a beer, and I would go to work while everybody was working on the grill. And I would dig a hole and I would plant our flag right there. And then, you know, you're firing the football around, and then, you know, you're walking, you know, this is young me, walking into the stadium, got, you know, hammering back that last beer before you get to the big recycle bins. You fire that and that. Maybe you sneak one in back then. We did. You know, maybe you sneak in a few, actually. It's pre-9/11. And then you get out, and then you fire the grill back up. You watch the 4 o'clock games, and you got the steaks going, and you got the meatballs going, and you got the bread going, and you got the sausage. And, you know, you're there until 7 or 8. I mean, it's a 12, 13-hour day. And, you know, the smell, that's the other thing. Like, even you just pull up. It doesn't matter what the record is. You pull up, and it just feels right. It's good. It's wholesome. It's what's right. And I just love the Jets fan base. I really do. You guys are awesome. There were probably, I don't know, 20,000 empty seats. I don't blame you. You know, sell the tickets, eat the tickets, sleep in, you know, order in, watch the game at home. I got you. I understand why you check out at this point. But it was fun to be back today. And it was fun to see a win. I'm pumped about the win. I do think that this is a building block. And again, you know, you got to understand, like, yeah, you take whatever you could get. But, like, say if they would have won in week 4 or let's say they would have won the Tampa game, right? They held on and won. That was at week 3, Tampa? Yeah. Say if they would have won week 3, and then they would have won today. So they still have 2 wins, right? But to me, it's a little different. Now, even though if you win in week 3, at least you feel as going into early October, you're not out of it yet. You know, we win one more, we're 2-2, back to even footing, all the things that we do to convince ourselves that we have a chance to maybe get a wild card. So I get that. Like, in real time, it's more gratifying to win early. But big picture now, and in real time, I think it's better now because you want to see progress as the year goes on. And I know the Browns aren't good, and I know the Bengals have a world of issues, but to me, it's really, really, it's impressive, and it's enjoyable to win a game, go into the bye, come back, have buttoned up practices, be locked in. Whatever they were doing on the practice field for special teams worked more than once, and worked in a massive way that we might not see the rest of the way. I mean, not every team's bringing a kickoff back to the house. Not every team. Not every team's going to bring a punt return 80 yards to the house. That doesn't happen for every team every year. So they did that. And now it's 2 wins around the bye, and now you just kind of keep that going a little bit. And now it's just, you know, just keep your head down, put the work in, you know, the stuff that's not quite going to, we're not going to see it, and it's not going to really resonate with us tremendously here because it won't associate itself with a lot of wins because they're not there yet. But I'm happy. And if you're not, that's your problem. You know what I mean? That's on you. I think there's just an expiration on walking around and being miserable. But again, also incorporating the circumstances of, I really want Aaron Glenn to be the guy. Now, you always want I'm going to wrap it up on this. You want every Jets coach to be the guy because you just want the Jets to be good. That goes without saying. Everybody that's hired, come on, buddy. Be the savior, please. Let's go. You know, I'm rooting for you. I'm pulling for you. Aaron's different. He's one of us. He's a Jet. And for some people, that doesn't matter, you know. But having sat in that stadium, as I just described, you know, during his entire career, basically, and seeing teams that I loved, you know, those Parcells Vinny teams, you know, Curtis, Krebet, Keyshawn, Mawai. I mean, terrific. Offensive line was awesome. I mean, those are teams that I really, really, really loved. And Aaron Glenn was a guy that I always liked here. So I am rooting for him more. I've got more of a connection to Aaron Glenn than I do Mike Brown. As I'm a big Knicks fan. Many of you know that, right? And I think Mike was an okay hire. I think it was time to move on from Tom Thibodeau. And I want Mike to be the right – we'll see if he is. I mean, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but I think he's certainly competent. And I think he's going to approach this differently with the minutes and the bench and the offense and the flow, whatever. And we'll see if it pays dividends. But while I want Mike to do well because he's the coach of my team, I have no intimate connection to Mike Brown. I just know him as at this point, a bit of a transient, you know, NBA figure who's bounced around, who's won some championships as an assistant, won a couple of coach of the years. I respect his resume, and that's where it ends. And he happens to be my coach now. And we'll see for how long, you know? But it's different. Same like when Joe Torre, even though Joe was a Met and not a Yankee, Joe's from Brooklyn, same neighborhood as me. Matter of fact, I played on the same baseball team that Joe played on growing up, the Brooklyn Cadets, Marine Park. So, yeah, I mean, I wanted the Yankees to win because that's my team, but he's a Brooklyn guy. I used to go and take batting practice at Joe Torre Field on Avenue U by Kings Plaza. Yeah, one-on-one, me and my buddy Jimmy. We would just throw heat to each other and try to, you know, it was a smaller field, but we were throwing gas. We were older. And we were just rocking them out and hitting line drives and playing games. And that was Joe Torre's field. Joe's one of us. So Aaron Glenn is one of us. He gets it. And he could have taken other jobs. Instead, he took a shit job with shit ownership with a quarterback situation that's in complete flux. That was in complete disarray. Do you keep Rodgers? Do you get rid of him? If you keep him, he's going to be 40. If you keep him, he might take over the locker room. If you keep him, he might get hurt again. If you keep him, he might be washed, which he's not. But, you know, that was a tough evaluation process. Then what do you do? All right, you go to field. So he knew all this coming in, eyes wide open, knows the media, knows the terrain, knows the fan base, gets it, knows ownership, knows all the pitfalls. And this guy, to me, more and more, is starting to present himself as a lead man. Now, not in a very congenial way, and that's fine, because tough love is required, my friends. Tough love is required, you know? If your kid's not doing something, are you going to beg him 9 times, or are you going to eventually say, you know, I'm not even going to, you know, I won't even give you my dad voice but as you can imagine, you know, when it has to, it's got some authority behind it. There's just a point where I don't want to hear it. I'm not messing around. Do it. Just do it. Whether it's school, whether it's sports, whether it's cleaning up, don't want to hear it. Get it done. Or you're not going to your game. Or you're not going out. Or you're not playing games on the iPad with your buddies. Get it done. Now, I won't say it like that the first time. But if there's any resistance, and again, that's how you have to parent, you know? Because if you let kids run wild, they're going to run wild. And if you let a franchise that has been stuck at sea without a motor, without any paddles, you know, just bumping from wave to wave, lost at sea, lost. No sight of the Coast Guard, really no water, no rat, no food. Like, you've got to fight your way out of that situation. And this is the style that he has decided to embrace. And I got his back with it. Let's go. Second win in a row. Again, I still only think they get 4, you know, but it's deeper than that, as I've said many times already today. So have an awesome rest of your Sunday. I will let you know on social media how I'm going to do one of these giveaways here for our guy, Nick. It's pretty easy. I just want to try to do something creative, something fun. I gotta think about that when I'm off air. And I'll do that within the next couple of days. So one of you guys will get that. I would sign it for you, but I don't know that you would want my signature next to Nick. I want that to stand alone. So maybe I'll throw something else in there for you. But I'll see you tomorrow. 10 on the Fan. Obviously, let everybody know. I appreciate this, guys. Apple, Spotify, download it all. Got friends across the country, Jet fans across the world. Let them know about this. Unkillable, you know, trying to rise from the ashes. That's the essence of this. No matter how many times they hit us over the head, We regenerate, we watch, we keep coming back for more. We keep walking to the end of the plank, you know, looking down at those shark infested waters. But you know what? The more you win, the fewer sharks. The more you stabilize this, the clouds start to dissipate. Eventually the sun comes out. And it's little humble baby steps like this, I think, and I certainly hope that we will look back on it years and say, yeah, remember when Aaron just started to kind of just to start to get things together a little bit? Remember when Muji made that massive trade that reshaped the franchise, the direction? You got to start somewhere. And I'm hoping this is it. So enjoy the rest of your Sunday, guys. Tomorrow on The Fan, and I will get you during the week on the pod. Take us out, Nick. I'll see you guys soon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.